The Heavenly Spheres' Character of Residence in Each and Their Occupations. By Martha Washington through Mrs. J. Upham Handy. 1877. Introduction. In the hundreds of communications that I have received during the past 4 years from the spirit world, there is no one, perhaps, so full of general information and interest in regard to that heretofore unknown world as this. As this communication is from one whose husband is still called the father of our country, both now angels of the progressed life, it becomes of national interest. Having read it over and over, it appears too precious a message to be longer retained as personal property. I therefore put it in print, that all for a mite may learn more of human destiny than to my knowledge has ever before come to earth. The communication was written by Martha Washington, using the mediumship of Mrs. Upham Handy, of San Francisco, California. It was commenced in 1876, and written in sections, at different sittings, extending into January 1877. The preface was written at a sitting after the 8 sections, and all were written in my presence, each section being taken with me to my home, neither one having been out of my possession, until given to the printer. T. B. Clark. Note. During the sitting for this message, as well as for the much longer communication of Mary Washington, there appeared present, a heavenly host. After each writing and descriptions relating to the message, the medium would be controlled, and either talk or write upon various topics. On one occasion, XXXXX, unintelligible sentences, preface. I come from my heavenly home to try and arouse the minds of honest, earnest people, to trust their whole soul to the divine inherent principle which would guide them aright, were they to trust God more fully, receiving His intentions as manifested to them by impressions, and not resist the Holy Ghost, as is written in the Bible teachings of old. The Holy Ghost is the true Spirit of God, which manifests itself to man in all his walks of life, and which has been denied, misunderstood, and thereby driven away. The Nazarene often spoke of his Spirit, and urged upon his apostles to listen to its voice. Learn then to listen to the still, small voice which speaks when all is still in the silent chambers of the soul. It is the intimate speaking to the inner mind. It is only by the finest sensation that mortal can distinguish the voice of God. Sometimes he speaks to the sensitive man, so that the spirit vibrates through the nerves of the physical being. These impressions are the soul's language. Often spirits of the departed who are speaking to the spirits of mortals, converse by these impressions. Were they understood and allowed to guide, they would be found true monitors. Spirit communion has been denied, until the world has become a cold, lifeless body, with the spark of life nearly quenched, but the united effort of the angel world has broken the chains of darkness and doubt from thousands of Earth's children, and caused the link binding the two worlds to be welded, until there can be no more separation. By degrees, the universal truth of man's future life will be so fully revealed, that all shall know God or infinite wisdom from the least unto the greatest. As Jesus said, the light has truly come into the world, all its magnitude will be known. When once released from the material and become free independent beings, and established in full spiritual identity, we commence to learn the true conditions of life, unclogged by its earthly texture which has so closely held us, that we have only had faint glimpses of the inner chambers of our soul's home. It is then that we commence to realize our condition in the new 30 of labor and investigation, retaining of our former life, only that we can apply to our needs and happiness. Thus the progress of the soul is never delayed, for the golden chain is still linked with time and eternity, holding the spirit while it is materially clothed, retaining its attractions through all changes, drawing the soul ever upwards to its divine soul home. We have come back from our heavenly visit to the home of the blessed, with the yearning desire to proclaim to the world the gospel of light, and awaken it to a new revelation regarding their future abode. As we come, we find so many in the darkness of superstition, fears, doubts, awed into acquiescence to material teachings of punishment after death, all of which have produced a dwarfed race, whose souls have shrunken, and now find it impossible to live a full life as designed by the Heavenly Father. But clear and beautiful shall spiritual things become to the children of earth when they learn to receive the gifts God, the Father, gives to bless the world, and sustain the beings called to occupy and enjoy them. All things coming from the infinite source are beautiful, and adapted in perfect harmony to the use designed. The darkness and obscurity which has so long blinded the world, has been caused by the teachings of an offended deity, instead of a full and free confidence in the unbounded love of a divine Father, whose omnipotent wisdom has given life, liberty and growth to all. As the sun of day rises and shines upon your earth, so does the love of the infinite power illuminate all, giving life, and childlike confidence. Amid the scenes of our spiritual unfolding we behold the divine life, the divinity of all things, the soul germs of the eternal, and find that all had a true type at the time of taking form of expression on coming into earthly conditions to be clothed upon in the expressed form of material existence, thereby molding the spirit body preparatory to its departure for the different spheres. Therefore, all types must be represented in separate order, to be classified in their appropriate condition. It is this twofold divine arrangement of spirit and matter that gives beauty and sublimity to all, both infinite and finite. The law is so perfect that neither man nor deity can change it. It is marked by the highest infinity, and all must be subject to its law. Without it, all would be chaos; with it, all is perfect harmony in the grand reflex of its perfect grandeur. As we allow principles of intelligence supremacy, you may call it God or infinite wisdom clothed with an embodiment as significant of power, we care not what it is called. We know this, that we find it a fountain of light, love, intelligence, power, with order and harmony embodied with heat, life and growth. We find matter worlds or planets and stars, whose fixed position renders them habitual, and all controlled by one and the same, and call it God, for it pervades all things, and is therefore deific. From these material conditions we change to the spiritual, passing through sphere after sphere, until we are received into the seventh, where we are freed from all material condition that has retarded our progress toward that illimitable sphere of soul life where the fullest love and unbounded joy awaits the perfected soul. This is the acme of life, the soul center of God's love, a fountain of eternal joy from which radiations are ever expanding toward all spheres, a world whose atmosphere is tinged with roseate hues, where rarest music is chanted through the sylvan glades, and the echoing vespers make harmony which fills the soul with joy, where fountains of life are ever flowing, and where eternal beauty reigns supreme. I feel, friend, that my pen through this medium fails to convey to your mind the wondrous beauty and exaltation of this blessed soul home, where in dreamy love, all former life, whether earthly or spiritual, passes before you, where yon may add to your store of knowledge, and realize that you still may clasp the old loved friends, and know that they are ever yours. Realize that like children, we may forever wander amid the fragrant flowers and perfumed glades, or soar to towering mountain tops, without fatigue, to view the vast expanse of ether blue, touched with golden, fleecy clouds floating over this summer land, home of soul's eternal rest. We have tried to define the true principles of all existence to your understanding, having done the best we could through this medium of communication, and must now close this, to me, interesting moment of expressing my experience in sphere life to the children of Earth, even though it be in this crude form. We have taken you through the different phases of our progress in spirit lands, and hope our faint and imperfect description of soul home may prove a blessing to those yet in the mortal form. Now, dear friend, one must leave with the fraternal blessing of those who have given into your hands brief description of our heavenly home: George Washington, Mary, his beloved mother, and I, his sole partner in all the joys and sorrows of his earthly life, and still united with him in all his spiritual gifts, begging that you will call ourselves fraternally your guides. Martha Washington. Section 1. True to the cause of humanity, I commend will endeavor to give a truthful delineation of our beautiful spirit home. Whether I may interest you as well as my beloved husband and his sainted mother, is yet to be proven by the contribution which shall be given. Yes, friend, We are present at your sitting and impressing you in regard to this message, for we felt it to be the right time to commence the written work of our experience from Spirit Land. I have the spirit life of George Washington and Mary, his mother. Unpublished T.B.C. We know that you have had many descriptions which may have given you a clear insight to a hind of beauty, but none I feel have been more earnest and thorough in descriptive language than I intend this to be, as you are a faithful seeker after true knowledge from this glorious summer land of promise and eternal life. We will try to lift the curtain and open to your view glorious scenes, which once beholding, will never be forgotten by mortal or spirit. There have been many adventures to this summer land of life, but none who have been permitted to behold but a shadowy, as it were, of the wonderful and glorious reality. On first awakening to this enchanted and sublime land, we are filled with amazement and can only look and exclaim, so powerless and overcome are we to behold it filled with such sacred and holy conceptions and realities of God's infinite power. But, my friend, as I am to commence a history of travels, as you might call it, I will not elaborate until I can make my way clear to define my change. I had become awakened to this wonderful truth that life continued beyond this earth, from many incidents before I passed to spirit life, so much so, that I felt within myself that a knowledge was given to my soul or inward being that I should live and realize a spiritual existence, and that I should be permitted to unite my thoughts and feelings with those who were in harmony with my spiritual life. The world could not comprehend, for I could not clearly define myself, but a trust was in my soul, a sustaining power, which I felt would carry me through trials and give full assurance of future happiness derived from the knowledge of a superior condition or world, for to my soul's eye I could see the beautiful angelic hosts passing and repassing in all their glory, causing me to feel that something was being done in heaven which would bless the millions inhabiting that glorious realm beside what had been taught. Yes. Not only singing forever, but all souls calculated to take in God's universal love and works now needed to see on the grand and glorious plans laid out from the foundation of all things. Thus these thoughts gradually wound around my soul until they became a part of my earthly life, blessing and preparing me for the change that comes to all, until death had no terrors. On first leaving earth, we are often reminded of our earthly home and feel a longing desire to return to awaken our friends to our great discovery, to give them glad tidings from this unknown life or beautiful sphere, for it is not that uncertain visionary heaven that was taught of old, but a real living, breathing country full of all life, both vegetable, animal and spirit, all in spiritual beauty, showing forth the handiwork of the divine Creator, and that the fullness thereof is for all. Everyone has all that he can use or comprehend, and as it is the design of the All-Wise to create a hungering for knowledge of this fruitful and glorious home, therefore spheres are prepared for the reception of all adapted to their condition. Here they are nourished and educated to comprehend all its uses, and all its blessings, until prepared to enter the next abode. Oftentimes the guardian spirits from higher spheres descend and take them to other spheres to show the glories that await them when they shall be prepared, which quickens their souls to embrace every opportunity to advance and enter the beautiful home beyond. Each sphere has its laws, and labor, and education. Every scholar has studies adapted to his taste or capacity, and thereby advances much faster in the higher knowledge by this harmonious blending. We find that mortals are comprehending this law of spiritual affinity for adaptation to mental and physical education, thereby elevating humanity to a scale of advancement beyond the former compress of mind into one mold which thus destroyed its capacity instead of achieving the desired object. Now, friend, we shall take you by the hand and lead gently through the beautiful road up to the glorious temple of liberty and knowledge, where science and truth set their seal to the great gateway of glory and immortality. My spirit took its flight through the airy realms. I seemed on beings of ethereal light, and felt such glorious, inward joy, that I could not speak, although attended by hosts of angels and loved ones. Astonishment, wonder, love and thrilling joy filled my soul. At times I feared death might be called back to earth, as I could feel the tie still binding through the chemical condition of atmosphere. My guides, however, told me that I was free and could not return to inhabit an earthly form, but should return when I had become sufficiently strong to hold the conditions of spiritual life, and be clothed with spiritual garments. Yes, friend, we are but newborn babes in the hands of angels who guard and guide us until we become able to establish our individuality. Since I have become fully grown, and comprehend the true spiritual laws, I cannot understand how mortals could ever have been so darkened and lost to their true condition, relative to this beautiful world, which embodies all in its glorious folds of eternal sweetness and loving knowledge. It pains us here, as well as we see it also does you of the earthly sphere, to see so many who only live to vegetate without one influx of light from their spiritual home, because they are so dense that they cannot comprehend their brain or sensational life. Section 2nd. Good morning, friend, a Merry Christmas to you. In saying this, it calls me back to the long and cherished associations of past earthly life, where the reunions of loved ones were a wellspring of joy never to be forgotten. Neither is it forgotten in our bright homes, where we assemble to relate our earthly experiences, and compare notes of incidents which filled our earthly career. Life here is very similar to that of Earth, and differs only as we comprehend it from our present standpoint. For instance, life is varied as on Earth, also are the inhabitants in their traits of character, which are diffused in different ways to blend in harmony and not jar inharmoniously from want of sympathy. Thus every sphere in heaven or earth has its variety and condition adapted to the wants of its inhabitants, each fundamental principle being of itself a sustaining power which must come from the outer to strengthen the inner soul. We must give you the leading steps to our loved abode, so that as you advance, you can comprehend what we wish to convey to your mind, and also be enabled to impress upon you the true revelation of this God-given home, and its true locality and adaption. Many have returned so elated with its glories, that they could not define to mortal understanding the true condition of this grand universe, but as this temple is not made with hands, but wrought out of divine principles in all its wonderful and glorious unfoldment, so has it developed man in all his glorious conceptions and proportions to carry out the wonderful beatitude of his divine Creator, and as all things must be seen until known in the upcoming times, by every mortal whose perceptions lead him to the infinite, so, also, will he yet unveil the true secret of his origin and future. We, who are, as it were, dead to the world, are yet of the world apart, and shall ever hold the magnetic cord of earthly conditions. We cannot possibly break them, they may become finer, and the tissue may be lost to earthly gaze, yet we shall ever be connected, and shall be helpers in the great work of the world's reform, for it is our world, and as such, belongs to us. Though we may visit, inhabit, and admire other worlds, yet this world is our home. The earth is our mother, and we shall ever bless her, for we cannot do otherwise. Our Father is the universe, and by him and through him, we are being educated and unfolded to learn the wonderful and glorious revealments he is making. In passing from earth, we are momentarily lost, but as we emerge from a chamber of forgetfulness, we gradually awaken to a glorious consciousness of beauty and light. Our open eyes unclose as from slumber, and the lullaby song of our early days come back to us full of love and sweetness, as when in our mother's arms, and an all-refreshing and quieting influence pervades our being. We feel no desire to know our condition, we are merely passive to the glorious sights and sounds that float around us, while we perceive that we are gaining strength, and restoration is pervading our senses. This was my experience, and I find many who tell me the same, but many differ. Some remain a great length of time in primitive darkness, and are brought out by the constant exertions of spirit friends, who try to relieve and awaken them to knowledge of their change. Many are never entirely lost, and can hardly perceive the change of the chemical structure falling from their spirit body. These are so spiritually alive as not to be aware of the change, until some spirit friend, long gone, awaiting, reminds them of their passage to this glorious realm. They have changed their garments so easily while on the earth plane, that the spiritual body superseded the structure of physical life, donning the spiritual garments so gracefully as not to perceive it, until reminded by their spiritual friends, and the glorious surroundings. Thus it is that the awakened ones of Earth will ever be, by becoming spiritualized while in the form. But all cannot do this, as they are not chemically prepared by their anterior condition. They are too gross to enter into the spiritual atmosphere and become embalmed with its influence. It will take generations of physical life to permeate the whole Earth with a spiritual condition. Earth is yet in her primitive condition, and not yet spiritualized. She has her work to do, and must revolve many centuries before we can receive her to the spiritual sphere atmosphere. When that time does come, then will her inhabitants comprehend the true soul relation of mortals, as well as beings, who inhabit the spirit world. We have met here today, to bring our love, our sympathies and joys to the earnest and truthful investigation of this heavenly subject. Yes, my beloved Washington and mother are here today, showering blessings from their summer land home, and to assist me in my description of its beauties and realities, for their surprise, like mine, was unbounded. In their love and assistance, I have been cradled, and by them guarded through all the scenes of my observation. I have visited many points of the first sphere from Earth, and find a great similarity in all other things, as well as in the inhabitants. Nearly all are drawn here on first entering the spirit world as they are still charged with Earth's magnetism, and of course, need the chemicals nearest Earth to sustain them. Very soon many are drawn higher by becoming more spiritualized with heavenly aspiration, and must then be sustained by a natural attraction. Those who remain longer, are led to return to Earth, where they control mortals to carry out their habits and tastes acquired in the Earth life, for they are still governed by their sensual or physical condition, and it is only by degrees that they can be withdrawn from its material associations. When the spirits of the first sphere above the Earth commence to learn that they have changed their garments, and become disembodied from the earthly habitation, it takes even then a long time to prepare them for the next sphere. Many spirits come to Earth to be educated, and we hope the time is not far distant, when regular schools will be formed on Earth to educate and release unfortunate spirits who have passed from Earth in darkness. We most sincerely thank all mediums for the grand and noble work they are doing in this most glorious unfoldment of the greatest boon ever given, the knowledge of a home beyond this Earth. Yes, a home, and what a glorious home, where all friends are gathered at a moment's warning, to give and receive each other's blessing and experience. Why, friends of Earth, you who are on this little ball, so limited by physical conditions and climatic changes, who, when separated, cannot meet only through dangers and privation, and at prolonged and stated times, think of your loved ones who may dwell in spheres far remote, who can, on a thought, instantly be present at your bidding, and to yourself, the same power to pass to unlimited spheres at wish. Oh, is it not beautiful, not only to know this, but also know that it is eternal, that your loved ones will ever be free, ever living to see and know, and enjoy this life, this great joy with you. When we see the mourners of Earth following the remains of their loved ones to the tomb, so sadly, so silently, feeling that they have laid them forever out of sight, oh, how I long to say to them, rejoice, for the birth of their glorified spirits which now stand beside you and are trying to lift the veil from before your eyes, that you may see them in all their radiance and life, that it is you who need the sympathy and love, not they. They are freed from their network of Earth life texture, and are now clothed upon with garments whose silvery sheen is brighter than the stars set in the diadem of heaven. It is to teach mortals what the use of life should be, how to make it more useful and glorious here, and to do works for coming time that we return to Earth. The knowledge we impart will enhance the pleasures of this world, and add stars to the crown of the spirit life. Section 3. We will now speak of the second sphere, to which those have passed who have become conscious of the spiritual, and are quickening with a sensitive desire to comprehend the true relation of their spiritual surroundings. In this sphere, everything is similar to the first, save, of a more spiritual and refined nature. All things pertaining to life exists here, and are a necessity to the condition of the atmosphere, and life of spiritual man. It, like all spheres, continues to throw off an aura, which goes to sustain the one above, which gradually doing away with the lower or animal creation, as a necessity, supplying the higher with a magnetic aura, which, passing through a process of refinement, sustains the spiritual life beyond, until the spirit has outgrown the necessity of nourishment of all animal life, and has become a perfect spiritual being, where it is supplied by quickening life, with light reflected from the higher atmosphere of infinite worlds. You must know that there must be order in the great unfoldment of man, from his earthly condition to the higher life, in which abound all the material chemical productions of earth, until we reach the fourth sphere. From there, you will perceive a change, which will again change the chemical, but not the being. Here a new light is given, a new voice which proclaims a new birth, a new spiritual birth, where all the dross of material conditions is removed at the threshold, to again step forth to an unseen world, to be met by the glorified, who have borne the palm of the purified in spirit, and where the golden light of God's glory begins to illuminate the horizon. On being ushered to this sphere, the most wonderful and glorious effulgence of light breaks upon the newborn spirit, and reveals to them what the senses could never have conceived. Here you behold a host, who are gathered to chant forth angelic music. From this sphere you will commence your angelic ascensions to the fifth, sixth and seventh, until you reach the great ocean of eternal beauty, where sphere after sphere unfolds among the planetary nebula of the spiritual kingdom, where are concentrated hosts of glorious spirits at work, carrying out the fulfillment of life in every sphere and planet. In the third and fourth are the workers, who are chemically analyzing Earth's and other sphere atmosphere, and who are making rapid strides toward a grand discovery, soon to be made known upon your earth, as a new power, by, and through which we, as well as mortals, can comprehend each other, without the doubt and uncertainty that now exists, as to whether we are life, existence or phantom. Yes, also some new discoveries, regarding a new planet with a nebula, which will impart power to talk as clearly to your comprehension, as you do to each other upon earth today. I will sometime take this medium up to my sphere, that you may know from a heavenly sight, that that of which we write is real, that the communicating of the loved ones, that have preceded me, are truthful portraitures of the heavenly home. The next time, I shall speak from my own observation. It has been reserved for me to define myself as I go along, so that every step may have a bearing one upon the other. Not that we labor to rise step by step, but to comprehend the true causes that lead us onward, as in earth life. You, today, are solving a question by assistance from the realms above, and I, like you, have instructions from the philosophers and sages of the past, who have long been in advance, and who have been reading the Book of Life, eternal, to the children who come to be taught. Each day after writing, the medium would seem carried to fairy realms, giving a description of what she saw. Section 4. In commencing a description of the third sphere next in the order of explanation, we find a wonderful likeness to some portions of Earth, especially the tropics, with their luxuriant shrubs and flowers, birds of beautiful plumage and melodious song. Amid these scenes we have lofty mountains, whose tops are crowned with verdure, which some have the beautiful snow, or, whose pure, white, feathery softness resembles the snow of earth, yet not the same in texture. Beautiful flowers, of pink and rosy hue, cover the surface, emitting a fragrance that tills the atmosphere with a living presence of their exhalations. Sections of this sphere are covered by towns and villages filled with earnest, working beings, who are carrying out their plans of life as upon earth, being satisfied to live and move within the limits of its conditions. Here are grand old plantations, with scenery and domestic life so real, so earnest, that we are tempted to mingle with them in their pursuits, for we feel that it is only a matter of condition which causes us to be happy and contented with associations that please us. Architecture is here primitive like the tropics, hence we find many who live in the open air under the arches of the loveliest trees of which the mind can conceive. This sphere has been assigned to the primitive or unfolded children of Earth, where, according to their requirements, they can be educated and prepared to pass to a higher sphere, when duties will be assigned according to their tastes and capacities, which sphere is an intellectual and mechanical one. In this they are prepared to enter the higher associations of life among the scientific and literary. Each sphere is a school of preparation for the one still higher, purifying for the glory awaiting. Oft-times many from the second, third and fourth spheres return to Earth to gather knowledge or leave some dross or deformity that must be removed before they can progress into the inner sanctuary of spiritual light and life.